back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a push it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major Radio. Matt, it finally happened. Flyers victories to talk about for the first time in the calendar year of 2022, and the first time in over a month, the Flyers have won back-to-back games.
I just took a very heavy / silent sigh of relief because you were talking, so I didn't want to interrupt you. But holy hell, the Flyers finally won a game. The 7:30 train is also here outside my apartment. So
right on time.
SEPTA is also celebrating the victory as well. But we finally have at least two Flyers wins to talk about after what seemed like decades of just doom and gloom. I'm sure there'll be more doom and gloom, but hey, we can at least enjoy this for now since it's the All-Star break.
Yeah, can confirm. And they almost didn't pull it out Saturday night. Or Saturday afternoon, I should say. But thanks to good old Sarge Scott Lawton, they got the deed done. That's a 4-3 overtime win against the Los Angeles Kings. And then last night, Tuesday, February 1st, crazy to think it's already February, but a 3-1 regulation win over those Winnipeg Jets, who are a good hockey team. Matt, I'll give you the talking stick first here. This week, what are your thoughts on these? I know winning two games in a row isn't anything special, but at least you know what they actually won two games, and we're happy about it. But what are your thoughts on these past two editions of the Philadelphia Flyers?
I mean, I was worried. I think we were us here in the northeast of I guess southeast PA. Sorry, I'm thinking of where I work, northeast. But yeah, we were all snowed in because we got that nor'easter / like bomb cyclone thing. So there wasn't really much else to do besides sit inside unless you had to shovel. So we were kind of stuck watching the Flyers. And you were like, oh, man, like 13-game losing streak. We have no choice but to kind of watch this because it's the only sporting event on right now. And they pull it out. I mean, they actually played well in that game against LA. There were times for long amounts of time, for good stretches, where they controlled play in all three zones. Carter Hart played very well up until, I mean, there were some breakdowns, obviously, and the Kings did outshoot the Flyers 40-36. But the Flyers finally won where it counted. They had one goal per period, including the overtime winner, like you said, Dave, from Scott Law in overtime, which was, it was a little skeptical at first because, like, you saw the goal happen and then you saw Jonathan Quick on his ass and you're like, oh no, are they going to score? Are they going to call this back as goalie interference? And then it turned out that his own player ran into him and you could just, like, finally, like, it was just like they should have played Jump Around by House of Pain because, like, I mean, every fan, Flyers fan, was probably just like, thank God, like, where it was like, we finally have a win to celebrate, to talk about. They still have a hell of a long way to go in the standings. They definitely are 10 plus points behind for just a wild card spot. But, oh my, it's just, and they didn't even make it easy either. The Kings tied the game, what was it? They tied it 3-3 with 37 seconds left in regulation as well to take it into overtime. And then you had that sinking feeling where you're just like, this is going to be loss number 13 or 14, whatever it was. It got to be too much to count, and it was just miserable. I mean, you can hear our last two podcasts where it was just miserable, 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 miserable. Chuck Fletcher miserable, Dave Scott miserable, just all around miserable. So it's nice to have that glimmer of hope. And then they do it again last night. I was having dinner with my grandparents, but I did catch the third period. And they won, obviously, which is good. Two third-period goals, which I got to see. Actually, I turned on the game late in the second, right when Konechny scored to tie it. And then JVR scored to make it 2-1 in the third, and then Oscar Lindblom put it away with an empty netter late in regulation. Pretty even in shots, too. The Flyers outshot the Jets 36-33. So, I mean, that was a good game against a good team. And, I mean, dare I say they maybe I don't even want to say this.
They're on a
two-game winning streak. They won back-to-back games. They won, like you said, Dave, they won on Saturday night for the first time literally since last calendar year. And actually, last night was also their first regulation win as well.
Yep.
Because they won in overtime, obviously, on Saturday afternoon. But I will not say anything more than that because I do not have expectations for this team at this point, because at this point they are in the All-Star break with the All-Star game festivities going on this weekend in Las Vegas, which we will touch on soon here on this week's episode. But, two solid wins. They're back in the win column for now. We can enjoy this until next week. And, Dave, I'll throw it over to you.
And for Saturday afternoon's W, I got really worried for a second because, like, they iced the puck when going for the empty net. And I'm literally talking to Brenna on the couch. And I'm like, who's out on the ice right now? Oh, JVR's out there. JVR's out there to try to defend a one goal lead with a minute left to go in the game. This is going to end well. And I looked at her. I was like, the Kings are going to score to tie it up here. And yeah, literally, as the words were leaving my mouth, Kopitar scored to tie the game.
Oh,
and of course I got blamed for it, you know, rightfully so. But I tweeted, I was like, this is setting up perfect. Like, you blew a two goal lead in the third period and you're on a 13 game losing streak. I'm like, this is peak. If they lose this game, it is peak Flyer.
Yeah.
But Scotty Lawton made sure they didn't lose and they got that dub. And you could tell the boys, you know, felt better and I guess had a good feeling. And then you heard going into practice on Monday, you saw all the beats saying how, like, it's crazy how, like, one win can just affect the room, because they apparently on Monday the Flyers had, like, their best practice in a long time. Yeah. Like, apparently it was high energy and crisp, which is what you want. And I guess it helps relax the mood of the vibe of the locker room a little bit there. And you go into Tuesday's game, last night's game against the Winnipeg Jets, and they're literally down 1-0 in the first minute in the first period. And Flyers Twitter's like, oh, here we go again. Here we go again. And, of course, it's Kyle Connor, who's the Jets, like, top scorer. Then the Flyers battled back, and Carter Hart. I think the Jets had almost 20 shots in that second period last night. And if it wasn't for Carter Hart, they were never going to be in that game. And it's
15 in the second period.
Yeah, it's nice to see that in these team wins, not only has the whole team played well and kind of rebounded and, you know, faced adversity, you know, you've gotten great goaltending from Carter Hart, especially in last night's game. Like, they don't win that game without him. So those are all, like, yeah, while this year is while this season is lost, you at least want the games to be entertaining and to hold your attention and make you want to watch them. And that's what the past two games have been. Yeah, do you wish they maybe got that W in regulation Saturday against the Kings? Sure, of course you do. But you know what? Where they are, the standings and how this year has gone, I'll take back-to-back wins in a row because it makes me feel somewhat good about my hockey team for just a little bit, where it doesn't have to be a negative Nancy podcast like it's been lately for us. So I'll take it. And then it was nice to actually watch a team win again. I kind of felt what I lost, what that feeling was like there for a while. but you know, it's nice. And hopefully they have an okay second half of the year. I mean, I saw a lot of fans pissed off, and I knew this was going to happen. You know, fans like tagging the Jets to profile saying, this is bad for Philadelphia. You should have beaten us. Like, what are you doing? Don't worry. Like, I'm not going to actively root against my team to lose. Like, whenever I watch this team, I want to watch them win. While losses are a good thing, I still think this team isn't good enough this year to even get back in the picture whatsoever. So to like, people can just like take a chill pill and realize no matter what happens, this team is still probably going to pick top five, definitely top 10 in the draft. So like, let's not be assholes on Flyers Twitter.
I think, yeah, I mean, I think as we said before, going back to your draft position thing, obviously you would love for them to make a run, but we don't want them to do the Flyers typical run where they give us hope and then they fall short in a handful of key games, and then they end up picking what they were supposed to pick 13th before they picked before they traded that pick for Ristolainen over the summer. So like, yeah, we don't want. I'm tired of them the middle of the pack.
Yep.
Draft picks where it's like you said, you don't want them to tank, or you don't want to actively root for them to lose, but if they continue to slide and they continue to just be bad as they've been for a good chunk of the season, most of the season, you would hopefully, again, like, you want that quote unquote consolation prize of a high draft pick, and you want, yes, it to be, ideally you want it to be top 10, even top 5, if they can again, not rooting for them to tank, but if they somehow do get even worse and end up in the draft lottery, because then they're guaranteed at least top 10, maybe even top 5.
I mean, hey, it'd be really, really cool if they won the lottery and picked Shane Wright first overall. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, and I mean, I think looking at the standings now, as of tonight, the 2nd of February, there's 17 points out of a wild card spot behind the Bruins. And I mean, they got a hell of a mountain to climb with under 40 games left now. So I mean, it's bleak, but I mean, we've seen, I think, I wouldn't call the season lost, but I think it is at the same time, because they've dug themselves in such a hole with two 10-plus game losing streaks where there's really, you have to literally win probably every game at this point just to still have a chance.
Oh, yeah. And so, and you know that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Like, I mean, so I think, again, they'll, and this goes back to my point that we made before so many times, where if they can at least be entertaining for parts of the rest of this season, I think that's okay with everyone. And then, I mean, the next step is going to be to see what the hell happens at the trade deadline. Just over, a month and a half from now, maybe like the next 6 weeks. I'm sure within the next month, we'll start hearing a bunch of trade rumors, obviously, from around the entire league. So it'll get interesting from there. And then, like, whatever happens at the trade deadline, we'll just kind of be like, okay, let's just kind of fast forward to hopefully the draft lottery, and hopefully they get a top pick. So I feel like we can obviously be passionate as fans, but also we know that we can just hit like cruise control at this point, where you're not really expecting much from them, as much as I hate to say it. So it's like everything is just kind of like,
yeah.
So it's kind of like water off a duck's back at this point, where it's like, if they're going to be bad, it's just like, hey, this is basically this. It's like, again, copy and paste from the last two seasons, like, except they made the playoffs in the bubble, like, but that could have been a fluke. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's one game at a time. We're enjoying the fact that they are on a back to back 2-game win streak. And that's all I'll say, like I said before.
Yeah. And it is like, also very peak Flyera to start playing well, and they get a couple wins in a row, and then a break hits them.
Yeah, you're all
like,
for
they always seem to pull this off somehow. Like they start playing well at like the worst time.
Yeah. Because
all momentum just gone. So
yeah, it's tough. I mean, I guess we can kind of wrap things up quick here for the Flyers because they don't have a game again until the 9th, which is a week from today.
Yep.
So they play a home and home with Detroit on the 9th and the 12th. First game in the Wells Fargo Center, second game at Detroit in Little Caesars Arena. And then from there, February 15th, maybe there'll be some heartbreakers the day after Valentine's Day and beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. Hopefully we won't have a glorified AHL team against the Penguins this time around, because yeah, that last game was just completely brutal. So those are the next three games for the Flyers here, but they have, we can take comfort in the fact that they've won their last two games. And Dave, moving on here, we can go to Las Vegas for All-Star weekend.
Viva.
I guess I'll continue the train here. On Friday night, we have the skills competition, I believe. Yes.
Yes.
So we have most of the usual suspects for these skills competition events. We have, if you don't know, it's they have the fastest skater, save streaks for goaltenders, the hardest shot, the breakaway challenge, and the accuracy shooting. It's actually been pretty cool. I've been checking out like all the NHL's Instagram posts, and they've been doing like clips and pictures of like all the past like All-Star like jerseys, events, like all that stuff. So it's cool to see those little video clips and a lot of the sweaters from the retro days for the All-Star game were unreal. And then I don't know if you follow Missing Curfew on Instagram, Dave, but they posted the video of the effing All-Star himself, Danny Heatley. I think he had 5 goals his rookie season in the All-Star game. So yeah, it's cool to see those videos and those pictures. But aside from those events, we do have two new ones that are going to be Vegas themed, I guess, because they're going to have the Fountain Face-Off. And it'll basically be, so according to NHL.com, it'll be 8 players competing on unfrozen ice, as it says in the article. They will take a boat to center water, quote unquote, in front of the Bellagio Hotel and Casino, and can see who can shoot pucks into 5 targets in the least amount of time. There will be a qualifying round as well as a head-to-head final for two players. The display itself will span more than 1,000 feet, and the fountains themselves spray water as high as 460 feet. It says pucks could splash, players could hit targets and say, "Hey, look, Ma, I made it." Oh, that's a plug for Panic at the Disco, the band. So, then there's also, this is another one is 21 in 22. So it's basically 21 like blackjack, and then in 22 as in 2022. Where are the rules for this one? Here we go. 5 players will stand on a Las Vegas Boulevard. There we go. Third time's a charm. On the actual strip, I guess that's what that is.
Yep.
They'll close down the street. They'll put a new twist on street hockey and blackjack in one. Man, we're getting crazy here.
Oh, I know.
They'll shoot at 52 oversized cards, trying to get the highest hand in the fewest shots without going bust. The first player who wins 2 rounds will win the event. So it's a mixture of accuracy shooting as well as gambling. Yes. So, hey, that's Vegas for you, I guess. But yeah, it'll be cool to see those new events. Also, the breakaway challenge, I didn't even realize this. I guess this is the first All-Star game we've seen in, what, 3 years? Because 2020... was the COVID pause. Last year there wasn't one. Was there one last year?
No.
No. At least last year was the shortened season.
Yeah.
So this is the first one. And like this, yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. But they're also bringing back the breakaway challenge. I did say that, but apparently this is the first time that's been back since 2016. So they will have a celebrity panel of judges consisting of John Hamm, Las Vegas ventriloquist Terry Fader, and NHL Hall of Famers Paul Coffey and Mark Messier, heard of them, will rate shots on a scale of 1 to 10, like the NBA All-Star Dunk Contest. So some cool stuff in store for Friday night. The NHL All-Star Skills Competition will start at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN, Sportsnet, and TVAS. I think that's the French network in Canada. So tune in. And Dave, your thoughts on these two new events, as well as just watching the skills competition. I'll say this quick, the broadcast can get a little bit drawn out.
Yes.
But it'll be interesting to see how ESPN does it. Where, I mean, we've seen before where guys are mic'd up, where they have like ISO cams. So, I mean, it gets a little bit cringe, for lack of better terms, so to speak, sometimes. But it's like, again, they have to take the time to set up and tear down different events on the ice and all that stuff. So it'll be interesting to see how it all goes down. But Dave, your thoughts on the skills competition and the new events as well as the old?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm excited to kind of see, you know, all the old events that we kind of know and love. Fastest skater is always interesting. Hardest shots is always great. Breakaway challenge is always fun too. I'm really kind of looking forward to the blackjack, the 21 and 22. I think that could be really cool. The one where they're on the fountains and in the ice, it's either going to be really awesome, or no one's going to be able to do it, and it's going to be a complete absolute dud, and it's going to be embarrassing. So it's like you need at least one player to do it, because then that's the one gif you need. You just need the one moment. That's all that matters. But no, you know, I'm looking forward to it. Everyone knows that the skills competition is kind of like it's the highlight of the weekend. Like the All-Star games themselves can kind of be kind of boring because you can tell the players are half-assing it and they're not really trying.
Yeah.
But no, I'm looking forward to it, and it's kind of nice to see that it's happening again, and Vegas is going to be a great spot for it, obviously. But no, I'm looking forward to the weekend and looking forward to, you know, sitting my butt down on my couch, having a few adult beverages and watching all the best players in the world.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm also trying to get this this tweet up that I saw from the other day for the special guests that'll be there. Where is this? Bad radio by me. I was supposed to have it.
I know Kurt Russell's son is going to be one of them.
U.S. agent?
Yeah.
Here we go. So this is, yeah. Where do we go? Oh, so there's special guests that will be doing, I guess, different things. I think Wyatt Russell, like you said, Kurt Russell's son, yes, is a goalie.
Oh.
I don't think he might be a goalie. I'm not sure.
And I know Manet Rayon,
Rayon, she's back on the ice 30 years later. It says in this article, she'll be one of the goalies in the breakaway challenge. And then also, I think it's kind of funny that, like, Trevor Zegras is a special guest, like, because it's like he could have just been elected an All-Star, but he didn't get elected to the All-Star roster. But just because he did the lacrosse goal
in the Michigan the other night,
yeah, like, I mean, which is cool. So he'll be competing as a I guess in a Vegas terms, a wild card.
Yes.
In the breakaway challenge, and then also 3-time Olympic medalist Jocelyn Lamoureux Davidson and actor Wyatt Russell will also be in that breakaway challenge, I believe, as well. But yeah, I mean, those four people, big names in hockey and in entertainment. Obviously, Wyatt Russell, if you don't know him, like you said, Dave, he's Kurt Russell's son. He's U.S. agent
in
Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
He's in the second Goon.
He's in the second. Actually, I just watched the first Goon the other night for the first time in a long time, and I forgot how good it was.
So good. We watched the second one at my bachelor party.
Yeah.
So all hungover that Saturday morning.
But yeah, I mean, he's been in. I'm trying to think. He was in 22 Jump Street.
He's in that weird, like, World War II, like, kind of like zombie
esque
movie that takes place on D-Day. Operation Overlord.
Overlord. Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
It's funny. It took me forever to realize that he was Kurt Russell's son. Like,
I knew it as soon as I saw him. I was like, he is a Russell.
Yeah.
He looks really like his dad.
He's a really good actor. I like him a lot. He seems like a really like chill guy too. So
it's funny because he kind of plays an asshole in every movie he's in.
I was gonna say he plays like a dickhead or like just like a shady guy. But like I guess that's his thing. Like
he's good at it. I mean, I liked him as U.S. agent a lot. So
yep. But back on track here.
Yes. Dave,
the skills competition, all that jazz. If you need more info, go online. It's all there for you. But it starts at 7:30 on ESPN in the States. And if you don't live in the States, I can't tell you. Sportsnet and TVAS, I believe. So tune into your local or regional sports networks for that. And then moving on to Saturday, the main event, Vegas. We actually can go back to the Flyers quick here because with – Alex Ovechkin not participating in All-Star Weekend because he's been placed in COVID protocol due to a positive test result is what we've been told. But yes. Dave, you have thoughts on that subject as well. Let you touch on that quick.
It's just every year there are these star players on contending teams that get elected to the All-Star game, and all of a sudden they are quote unquote hurt. They have an injury. And for some reason, they can't go to the All-Star game. When you all know that's a load of BS, the league knows it. So then the league suspends them for one game for missing the All-Star game. They do it, and it's fine. They heal their bodies for the stretch run into the playoffs. But now that COVID exists this year, you know, the Capitals just played the Penguins last night. And I know COVID's, like, nothing to joke about, considering I had it. But, like, it's just oddly it's oddly suspect timing. You know, like all of a sudden it's All-Star game weekend and all out of nowhere, Alex Ovechkin has COVID or he entered COVID protocol. Like to me, I just feel like it's the Capitals like trying. I mean, if he does have it, I'm going to be like looking a real dick. But I mean, yeah, I guess you're not going to suspend a player for going into COVID protocol. So I wouldn't be surprised if all of a sudden, after All-Star Game weekend and the next Capitals game next week, Ovechkin is fine.
Yeah. But aside from that, if he does have COVID, Dave, shame on you.
If he does have COVID, I will feel really bad for having those thoughts. But I can tell you, from visiting Twitter.com, I'm not the only one who thinks that.
Oh, good old social media where all the news is true. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know. If it happens on Twitter, it must be true.
Yep.
But no, I mean, would I rather have Ovi play in the All-Star game? Of course. He's one of the world's best players.
Yeah.
He probably would have been in the hardest shot competition because he has an absolute cannon. Maybe even the breakaway challenge. But if he does have COVID, I'm going to be really bad for thinking that. But it's timing of it all. Like normally, like Ovechkin's a player the past couple years where he's all of a sudden been hurt All-Star Game weekend. So like, I'm not really wrong for having these thoughts.
No, I feel you.
There is positive news about Ovi not going.
About being positive, no pun intended.
Yes.
There's a silver lining, I was going to say, for lack of a better phrase. But with Ovechkin not participating, our captain for the Flyers, Claude Giroux, will now be the captain for the Metropolitan Division. So he'll be the people's captain, an all-star captain for the Metropolitan Division, which will be cool to see. Giroux obviously wearing the C for the Flyers, but now he'll wear the C for the Met. Might persuade me even more to get a Giroux all-star jersey, but I don't know. Maybe
how much for... Yeah, how much they are.
It is payday this week for me, so.
Mucho dinero.
But anyway, and then replacing Ovi for the Capitals will be Tom Wilson.
I mean, hey, I'm a Tom Wilson guy.
Oh, I would love him on the Flyers.
Like, precisely. But, like, the dude just isn't a meathead enforcer. Like, he can actually play hockey.
Yeah.
And the fact that a guy like him is going to the All-Star game, I think is cool.
Oh, yeah.
Because he can play. He is not a great guy on the ice, and he has made some very questionable hits throughout his career. But he's a hell of a hockey player. So yes. I am all aboard Tom Wilson being in the All-Star game. I know, again, a sect of Twitter has their underwears in bunches over this, but you know what? The league wouldn't have him go to the All-Star game if he wasn't good enough to be there. And frankly, he is. Everyone else who thinks he isn't that good, you need to wake up and come to reality.
Yep. And then also in some other roster news for the All-Star game, Jonathan Marchessault will be representing the Golden Knights for the Pacific Division. There we go. Words are hard tonight, Dave.
Yeah, I think he got added in.
Yeah. And then Nate McKinnon for the Colorado Avalanche, who was supposed to be the captain of the Central Division, will miss the All-Star game after he got a concussion from – we're not going to get too much into this, but I think it was a dirty hit from Kadri.
Or no, not Kadri. No,
who was it?
From Taylor Hall, but it actually, the hit was fine. What caused all the damage, and at first I thought it was a dirty hit until I saw the replay. Hall just went to go check him normally, and it's McKinnon's own stick that did all the damage to him.
Oh, really?
It would have been a clean hit, but go back and look at the play, Matt. At first, when I saw it,
let me get my telestrator out.
Yeah. When I saw it in live action, I was like, that's a dirty and scumbag move by Taylor Hall right there. But it actually, it was a clean hit and just had it had unfortunate circumstances. And it was his own stick that went up and broke his nose and gave him the cocky. It sucks that you're not going to have McKinnon in the All-Star game because he'd be in probably every single event because he is that good.
Yeah.
But we got sidetracked there, but. Not a dirty hit, just an unfortunate, right. A series of unfortunate events.
I will rescind my negative statement against Taylor Hall. But getting back to it, to replace McKinnon, they added defenseman from the Predators, Roman Josi, to the central roster. And then also Dallas Stars forward Joe Pavelski will be the captain of the central division. Also Capitals center Evgeny Kuznetsov was added to the Metropolitan roster to replace Rangers defenseman Adam Fox, who was on IR because of an upper body injury sustained in late January. So those are your roster updates as of now for the All-Star game. The All-Star game is Saturday. I'm not seeing a time here. Stand by. Saturday at 3 o'clock. That's a weird. Actually, they have a typo on this article. It says the 2002 Honda NHL All-Star Game. So, NHL.com, you got a typo. It says 2002 instead of 2022.
Oh, yeah, I do see that. But, yeah, Saturday 3 o'clock Eastern time. A matinee All-Star Game.
On ABC,
on Saturday?
Sportsnet, and TVAS. So, tune in to All-Star Weekend on Friday night and Saturday afternoon. A lot of good coverage from – actually, NHL Network usually does a lot of good coverage for that stuff too. So we'll both be tuned into that stuff, Dave, obviously, and maybe throw out a few tweets if Giroux does anything of importance.
Yes.
So we will see what happens with All-Star Weekend. Let's see. What else is going on around the league that we can talk about? Did you have anything before I move on?
No. I didn't realize it was a matinee game on a Saturday. Big fan of that. I do say I wish they'd go back to one thing. I wish they would go back to the draft. Like they did a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Where it didn't matter what division you were in. You were all in a big pool. There was two. Maybe even go back to 5-on-5. And you know what? You have two captains and you pick the team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for that. And again, I think it's tough because, like we said, the All-Star game is – I mean, it's a huge marketing thing, obviously, because you want every team represented. But it's like you have some teams who, like, again, for lack of a better phrase here, don't really deserve to have anyone on the All-Star team. So, but, hey, that's not my business, as they say.
I mean, it also stinks because, like, you've got Igor Shesterkin of the New York Rangers, who's he's the lead candidate for the Vezina Trophy right now, his best goalie this season, and he's not an All-Star. It's like, what? And, like, Nazem Kadri, who's third overall in league scoring, had to get voted in as last man voted in. Like, maybe you need to tweak how players get selected to this. Because, like, should someone from the Ottawa Senators or Buffalo Sabres be really going to the All-Star game? The answer is no. They so, don't have an all-star.
Actually, we can touch on this when we to stay on the all-star track. We have the lineup of the performances for the weekend.
Is it Machine Gun Kelly playing?
Yes, but he's only one of multiple.
Okay. Who else so. They got? Who else does the NHL have lined up for hot entertainment?
So I'll start with the anthem singers. On Saturday for the game, the performance of O Canada will be performed by singer-songwriter Fauzia, who is a Canadian, I guess a Canadian artist.
Oh, okay.
Never heard of her, sorry.
Good for you,
and
eh?
Then that will be followed by singer Blanco Brown's rendition of the Star-Spangled Banner, the American national anthem.
Who dat?
Blanco Brown's pretty good. I've heard a couple of his songs
Do
before.
Not, I am not. I mean, I like to think I am one with hip and kids and bops these days, but like my definition of a bop is like much different than what the young hip kids think these days. Like,
this is the old man yells at cloud scenario.
Like, I've never heard of this Blanco character. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm a 31 year old
character.
Blanco character, shake fists at laptop screen. But no, like, I'm a 30 year old. Like, okay, I grew up listening to emo, post hardcore, and classic rock, and like early 2000s hip hop.
Yeah, so you should like. Sorry, I'm yawning again. You should like MGK.
I mean, I do like his pop punk album. Yeah. Like, I'm like a 30-year-old emo kid, okay? But, like, back when emo music was good.
Parents just don't understand.
They don't. Dude, I had it all. You missed my heyday, Matt. Let me tell you. I had the hair all grown out long and over the one eye. I had the black nail polish.
Oh, God.
I burned those pictures for good reason. They should not ever see the light of day. If I ever find one at my grandparents' house, I'll burn it on the spot immediately because they have gas stoves.
There you go.
But no, you're absolutely right. The parents did not understand.
I feel you, man. But moving on, we have MGK, Machine Gun Kelly, will headline the entertainment for the All-Star Game with a performance during the second intermission. And also DJ / producer Zed.
Zed's good. I know Zed.
He'll open the game with a performance during player introductions. So it's actually like the NHL has had some pretty decent musical talent as of late. So it's usually like I don't know, they've had a little bit of a rough patch in places, but they do pretty well so for the most part.
Yeah, I feel like Machine Gun Kelly's a good pick. Like, he's pretty popular, gets ample radio time, and of course Travis Barker is his drummer. So, but also, who doesn't Travis Barker drum for these days? Like, he does everything besides Blink. So, and don't even get me started on Blink, because it's not Blink without Tom DeLonge.
All right, I won't get you started. We can move on here. We can round out tonight with a couple of, if you don't know, obviously February is Black History Month, and the NHL, along with some of its teams, have already started celebrating because it is February 2nd, obviously. So we'll start. This is all I have on the recent news here for NHL.com. But the Washington Capitals are honoring the history and legacy of their black players with a permanent display inside Capitol Arena. Fans are actually getting their first in-person look at the display right now because the Capitals are playing the Edmonton Oilers right now. And it actually looks pretty cool. We're obviously a podcast, so you can't really see anything on this, but it's behind Section 116 of the arena's main concourse and salutes the contributions of the 11 black players who have played for the Caps since the team joined the NHL in 1974. It features a home jersey worn by forward Mike Marcin, who became the second black player in the NHL 16 years after Willie O'Ree made his debut with the Bruins. It also has a game-used stick by forward Joel Ward, a helmet used by forward Devontae Smith-Pelly, and also a warm-up jersey with a Players Against Hate and Racism shoulder patch that the Capitals players wore on February 25th, 2021 for the team's Black History Night that season.
Surprised they don't have anything for Brashear, because Brashear played for the Capitals.
Yeah. He's on, so they have, as I was going to get to this, but they have part of the display is like a There's pictures and then a timeline of like all the players. So Brashear is actually on the timeline, and he has a picture, a timeline and key moments in Capitals history, and an interactive QR code that can takes people to a link for additional info on their commitment to diversity, honoring Black players in history, resources, and more. So it's a pretty cool, it looks like from this picture, it looks like a pretty cool display. And it's definitely, I mean, these, obviously these players deserve the recognition that they, that they're getting.
Yeah. And also Willie Lurie's number was finally retired by the Bruins, I believe last week. And personally, I think that's something the NHL has dropped the ball on. They need to kind of handle Willie Lurie like how like MLB's handled Jackie Robinson. I feel like Willie Lurie's number should be retired league-wide. Just my personal opinion. But it's about time the Bruins finally retired that man's number. But he should be honored league-wide with a jersey retirement, personally.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, speaking of Willie Lurie, he received a very high honor from President Joe Biden on Monday of this week. He was presented with the Congressional Gold Medal, which was signed into law by President Joe Biden, like I said, on Monday. Bettman, Commissioner Gary Bettman said yesterday, quote, this esteemed honor is befitting Willie Lurie, a pioneer whose impact on hockey has been groundbreaking, profound, and enduring. A true pioneer and trailblazer, Lurie can add another achievement to his list of accolades. The first hockey player to receive the Congressional Gold Medal in its nearly 250-year history. Congratulations, Willie, and well-deserved. With a bipartisan 426-0 vote on January 19th, the House passed a bill to bestow the U.S. Congress's highest honor on Lurie, who became the first Black player in the NHL when he debuted with the Boston Bruins against the Montreal Canadiens at the Montreal Forum back on January 18th of 1958. The U.S. Senate passed its version of the bill on July 27th of 21, and the House vote came the day after the Boston Bruins retired Lurie's number 22 in a ceremony at TD Garden. There's no date scheduled for when he will receive the award, but the Congressional Gold Medal is awarded to individuals or groups for distinguished achievements and contributions, with recipients including, I mean, these are all heard of them, George Washington, Orville and Wilbur Wright, Jackie Robinson, Thomas Edison, Martin Luther King Jr., and Coretta Scott King. Again, heard of them.
Got to watch your head for all those name drops there.
Seriously. So Lurie is in good company with just a bunch of legendary historical figures. So we send our congrats to Willie. I think I said this before a couple of years ago in a podcast, but he actually tweeted me.
Humble like, brag.
Yeah, but like I forget what I said. I have a picture of I have a screenshot of it somewhere. But like it was back when they let like celebrities take over the NHL's Twitter account for like an hour, so people would tweet their questions. And I forget what I said, but I asked him a question and he responded to it. So that's like my connection to Willie Lurie.
Hey, not a big deal.
So, but and then. On another front for Black History Month, the New York Rangers hosted this is a Bronx-based team, which is an acronym for Together Everyone Achieves More. They faced off against Ice Hockey in Harlem, the IHIH, as part of the New York Rangers Black History Night and Black History Month celebration. It looks like both teams faced off with each other on the MSG ice it was before the Rangers Panthers game the other night, and they stayed after their ice slot to watch the game. About 50 players participated in four games divided by age groups. The contests were the first organized games for team hockey, which is a program established last season that offers free programming that allows students 14 and under in under-resourced communities to have access to athletic, academic, civic, and social opportunities through hockey. The program skates out of the Kipps Boys and Girls Club in the Bronx Borough of New York. Ice Hockey in Harlem, which was founded in 1987, is an affiliate of the NHL's Hockey is for Everyone initiative and provides free access to the sport and academic enrichment programs for kids ages 5 to 18. So two great organizations, similar to, I guess you can compare them to the Ed Snyder Youth Hockey Foundation. But it's great to see, obviously, this type of stuff should go on, and it does. It does go on. It should go on all the time with these less privileged kids. That, I mean, this is like the dream come true for a lot of these kids to get to play on the MSG ice and then stay for an NHL game. So, good on the Caps. Good on the Rangers. Good on Joe Biden for rewarding Willie O'Ree. And I mean, it's good. We'll continue to see this stuff throughout the month for the hockey world and the NHL celebrating Black History.
You know, I definitely agree. I can't really add on to anything else you said, Mastro. It's all great things. We need to do more things like this to prove to everyone that hockey really is for everyone. And you know, at this point, I feel like we don't need to touch on it just because it's already everything that's needed to be said has been said. But just last week, there was more racial incidences in pro hockey down in the minor leagues, and just like with racist gestures to Black players, and like enough is enough. And yeah. All these things now that the NHL and these teams do are small, but there needs to be a bigger stand taken to when you can actually say hockey is for everyone. And hopefully we can make the right steps, because it really sucks sometimes. Like, hockey can be a hard sport to root for at times, because it's like you could do enough, but sometimes the league just chooses not to. But, you know, I'm not going to dwell on it too much, because it's old news now at this point. But
we can move forward. Yeah, I was going to say there needs to be progress in that aspect. No matter the level of hockey, no matter the level of any sport, hell, racism in general just has to go away. And I mean, there, especially just in the hockey side of things, there's no room for hate, for prejudice in any aspect of any level of hockey. And I mean, the game, they say it's for everyone, but obviously we see these things come to light where they are these ugly instances where it's racism or prejudice against someone who may be like gay or transgender or something like that. So I mean, everyone deserves to be included in the game of hockey in any way that they want to, because it's again they say it's the coolest sport on earth, and to be able to be a part of any sort of hockey community, organization, team, anything is awesome, no matter what age you are, because I mean it's a big part of people's lives in a lot of aspects. So everyone deserves to be a part of it, and to be a part of it without being degraded.
Yes, definitely. And, I mean, I can personally attest, you know, all my best friends, including you and guys at my bachelor party, but like even our beer league team, Dump and Change Ice Hockey, we've all been playing hockey together since we were like 14, 15 years old. Like, it's your group of best friends, and it's, you just wish stuff like this wouldn't happen in the world.
And I mean, even as fans, like you want to obviously, without actually playing the game, I mean, this, we rag on the Flyers a lot, deservedly so in a lot of instances, but I mean, this team and this game of hockey is a huge part of our lives. And I mean, like you said, I mean, I'm sure you echo this same sentiment, Dave, where I don't know where I'd be without it. So
yeah, completely.
Everyone deserves to be a part of the game in any way that they want to be without being discriminated against for whatever reason. So hockey is for everyone. It should be for everyone. The NHL does need to make progress in that arena. No pun intended for arenas, but we've seen the quote, the swift hammer of justice being brought down on these players that have wronged others for the color of their skin or for just anything that it doesn't, that stuff doesn't belong in the game, as they say.
Correct.
Correct. So, and there's no room for those type of people in the game as well.
Precisely. Yeah. If you're a racist, see ya.
Yeah. And that
ain't nobody got time for that.
You can't say it was the heat of the moment or the heat of battle, because
or a tough guy imitation. Like, come on.
We've all been in instances where the wires have crossed, but me personally, and I'm sure you, Dave, again, I've never thought to go after someone's race. Like,
no, so. I look for something else that's that'll get their attention, but not like cross a line.
Yeah, and I mean, again, there's a lot of trash talking in the game, and you want to each, but yeah, again,
you have to do it tastefully.
There's no room for discrimination, no yes. ifs, ands, or buts. And correct. Again, that doesn't belong in the game. Those people who are gonna do it don't belong in the game. So, we want this game to be the best version of itself.
Yes, can confirm.
And with that, I will step off my soapbox for the betterment of hockey society. And Dave, as I usually do, I will throw things over to you to wrap this up for the week.
Yeah, crazy. It's already been 50 minutes. This podcast kind of flew by this evening. It's nice.
It's nice. We actually had positive stuff to talk about. Yeah, so it kind of just rolls off the tongue, and we get to be loose. It's the same thing I'm sure the Flyers have in the locker room, where
it's
you
finally nice
win a game. You're not fighting everything. Yeah. The monkey's off your back, and you're buzzing.
It's nice to not be angry and yell and think about these angry thoughts you've had building up for like, I got to talk about this on the podcast. Now it's like, oh, hey, my team won, and it's All-Star Weekend. Like, we need to have some fun. Like, that's why
it's
we're
like
doing
that,
this.
What is it? It's like that Ice Cube meme where he's like, today was a good day.
Yes.
Like, that's basically what it is.
Yeah. Can't confirm it. Tomorrow's Thursday, right? We are almost near the weekend. So, but yes. Yeah, that's going to wrap it up for this week. We got really nothing else much to talk about. No New Jersey watches, nothing like that. Just kind of like we're in the dog days of the season. Now after this weekend, it's like gearing up to the trade deadline, and then it's the march to the playoffs, which the Flyers won't be in. But any hoodles, they won two games in a row. So let's hope they can keep it up after the All-Star break here, and everyone keep on staying safe and healthy. Enjoy the weekend of hockey, because this is like the one weekend where all hockey fans can just watch and be like, I don't care who wins. Like, as long as it's fun.
Just hope they all have fun.
Exactly. And because the Flyers have won two games in a row, I will give them this for this podcast. Well done. And let's go, Flyers. Stay safe, everyone. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the All-Star game.